This Saturday's Final Four should be college basketball's showcase, featuring North Carolina and Syracuse, two of the game's greatest programs. But this heavyweight title bout is being eclipsed by academic scandal at both schools. I'm Michigan Radio sports commentator John U. Bacon to explain why. This Saturday's Final Four should be college basketball's showcase. It features North Carolina and Syracuse, two of the game's greatest programs. The North Carolina Tar Heels have won five national titles and ranked near the top of just about every measure that matters. The legendary Dean Smith, one of the most respected coaches in sports history, coached the Tar Heels for 36 years, including a guy named Michael Jordan. Coach Smith created what they call the Carolina Way, a shorthand for playing the game the right way on and off the court. Smith graduated 97% of his players. Syracuse also ranks in the top five for most wins and is riding a record 46-year streak of winning seasons. But thanks to academic fraud at both schools, this heavyweight matchup has become the Corruption Classic, or the Scholastic Scandal Semifinal. The NCAA just finished an 8-year investigation of Syracuse's program, which makes the Keystone Cops look like the Untouchables. They determined that Syracuse players had failed drug tests, been paid by boosters, and had coaches write their papers for them, but they kept playing anyway. For this, Syracuse had to erase 108 victories from 2004 to 2012. The NCAA also gave Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim a 9-game suspension. The punishment was incredibly light, but Boeheim, who strikes some people as a whiner but others as a crybaby, is still complaining about it, blaming everybody but himself. No sports reporters were surprised by any of it, but we were stunned when we learned soon after Dean Smith retired, North Carolina basketball players started taking bogus courses for phony grades. 226 players, in fact, for almost two decades. So what did the NCAA do? Nothing, of course. Because half the students in those classes were not athletes, the NCAA claimed it was a university matter, not an NCAA matter. So they left the entire mess for the university to clean up. But it was a big enough mess for the UNC chancellor to resign. If making sure athletes are bona fide students is not a central mission of the NCAA from its very inception in 1905, you have to wonder what exactly its central mission might be. A principle is something you follow, even when it goes against your immediate self-interest, like allowing Nazis to march in Skokie, Illinois, to protect the principle of free speech. But the NCAA does not follow any principle that runs against its immediate self-interest, even if that means unwittingly endangering its long-term survival. But there was not much outrage over Carolina's academic fraud case, so the NCAA paid little price for ignoring it. Likewise, the NCAA ignored the Baylor basketball case, in which one player killed his teammate and the head coach lied about it. The NCAA also ignored the Virginia lacrosse case, in which one player killed his girlfriend, who was a member of the women's team. In both cases, the NCAA paid little price for doing nothing. But when the NCAA does go after somebody, it's never the athletic directors or the head coaches, whose money can buy top-flight lawyers, but the assistant coaches, the low-ranked administrators, the poorly paid tutors, and the players, who have no power in this equation. That's when you realize the NCAA is no longer an enforcement agency, but a marketing company. Once you grasp that, everything the NCAA does or doesn't do suddenly makes a lot more sense. And that brings us to the one bit of justice I can find in this Kafka-esque house of mirrors. During the NCAA's biggest week of the year, instead of celebrating the showcase that is the Final Four, the NCAA will have to wallow in the mess that it created. For once, that seems about right to me.